Shiver me timbers. Fast ye scattering minds.
Hang him from the yard, arr.
Okay, people, it's that time again for another Turd or Treasure podcast, the podcast where we take the extra reviews and ramblings of me, Alex, that couldn't fit on the regular show due to time constraints or just us having too many things to review and put out. It just wouldn't fit any other way. Now, this is going to be a interesting show because I've got a bunch of quickies on here for you, ones that we could have put in other spots on the main show, but just didn't seem to fit quite well. So we've got Ni No Kuni 2, which is going to be a larger review on here. I absolutely love that game, but you're going to have to listen in for more. We've got The Thin Silence on Steam, Earthlock, which is on the Nintendo Switch, A Robot Named Fight on the Nintendo Switch as well. We've got Project Ilia on Steam, which is an early access game, Raging Justice on the Xbox. We've also got a Nintendo Switch group case review. And at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about what's coming up next on Turd or Treasure and maybe in the future on This Week in Geek. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to play probably three or four reviews in a row. We're going to get all these quickies that were the 1 or 2 minute reviews out all in one big chunk. And then I'll bring you back and talk about the next topic. All right. So the first one up is The Thin Silence. Alex here to talk briefly about The Thin Silence on Steam. Now, this game is, how do I put it? It's a fairly somber and depressing game, and it may not be for everyone simply because of that. I don't want to go too much into the plot itself, but it's got a pixel art style, and you're solving puzzles by combining and using different items in very interesting and inventive ways. Now, that being said, the game has a really cool visual style. It has just the right ambiance when it comes to music and sound design. The controls are pretty good, except you walk at a crawl of a pace. Now, if this is a game that you're going to play, I would suggest this is not a party game. This is a game you want to experience and sort of feel as you go. It's more of an experience than it is itself like an exciting, happy-go-lucky game, obviously, based on the subject matter. But I would definitely say it's worth checking out, again, if you're in the right mindset when you play it. So check it out on Steam now. Alright, I'm here with another game quickie. This is Raging Justice. It's a retro side-scrolling beat-em-up game, reminiscent of the 90s, like Streets of Rage, / any of those kind of brawler titles that you used to get on the 16-bit era and a bit of the end of the NES era. It's a pretty cool game. It has those digitized graphics similar to, I guess, like a Pit Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, that sort of look, where it's almost like you took a photo of somebody and then not really rotoscoped, but did something to it to make it into almost like a 3D model. It's very unique. You'd have to look at it to really understand what I mean. It's got some music in it that's not honestly the best. It's sort of meh. It's just sort of there. It's not really memorable at all. But the gameplay is pretty good. I would say it's definitely not, you know, clunky or not well executed. It's just nothing in there that really makes it oomph and stand out beyond a lot of the others that are out there. Is it fun? Yes, it's definitely fun to play. So I would say give it a go if you like a lot of the retro 90s beat-em-up style games. And it's fairly cheap. You know, it's in the $20 price point, roughly, depending on if there's a sale or not. So I would say check it out. Alex here with another game quickie. Here I'm talking about Aaliyah on Steam. I'm going to go through a quick story overview as they printed in the documentation for it. In the year 2093, humanity's hope is dwindling. Some 20 years ago, a neurological mutation broke out, causing uncontrollable rage in every Earthborn child. No real cure has been found except for an intervention that pacifies the children, but also makes them cold and lifeless. The pandemic set off a demographic crisis, making the colonization of a new world an urgent necessity. Luckily, an Earth-like exoplanet within an achievable distance from the solar system has been recently discovered. Pooling volunteering from around the globe, a first-of-a-kind interstellar spacecraft was built and sent to colonize the yet unpopulated planet. The gargantuan ship was named Pilgrimage, embodying the hopes of all of humanity. To everyone's dismay, shortly after a successful arrival, the Pilgrimage went on a total radio silence, what caused it remained a mystery. 13 years later, Research Starship Recovery has arrived on a site to investigate the fate of the Pilgrimage. The player takes the role of the space scientist River Aaliyah Catherine Jones, a member of the recovery's skeleton crew. She is driven by a personal goal, to find her husband Ethan, who occupied a prominent position in the Pilgrimage's scientific crew. So I don't want to go into any more detail than what the story overview says here, because the entire game is uncovering what's going on. The visuals in the game are pretty good for an indie title. They evoke a sort of futuristic, I'm not going to say Mass Effect because it's not that exact style, but that sort of level of future tech mixed with like a Blade Runner aesthetic as you go around and you interact with things and uncover what's going on and what happened to everybody. The audio design is pretty good. The music is pretty good, but nothing, again, to write home about. But what I did find, as far as anything wrong with it, is just the interaction aspect. Sometimes you go to click on something in your surroundings and it just doesn't work. Or you have to click two or three times. And I have had it freeze on me a couple times. Now, it is an early access, so this is something that's going to be expected. It's going to eventually have the bugs worked out of it. But right now, it has taken me out of the gameplay a little bit. That being said, I have enjoyed it, and I think it's definitely worth checking out. Check it out on Steam Early Access now. Alex here with another quick one. This is A Robot Named Fight on the Nintendo Switch. This game really interested me when I saw trailers for it earlier in the year. It's what if you took Metroid, mixed it with, I guess, a Mega Man sort of style, but made it in a modern pixel art design. So it's that Metroidvania style with a bit of that, roguelike. It's not really 100% a rogue game, but it does regenerate every single time you play for up to, it's several billion options you could play, which is really, really neat. Now, it's one of those games where you'll play it and it's so similar to Metroid in that the way it feels and plays, that when something happens that you're not expecting, you go, damn it, and you get mad because you think, oh shit, it's supposed to be a different game, but in your head you're feeling like it's actually Metroid. So kudos to them for making it very, very, very similar and have that exact same feel as playing a Metroidvania-style game. Now, the visuals are fantastic. They have this very, very, very unique and ominous sort of feel to it, the way you play. The power-ups are pretty cool, although it is frustrating that when you die, you don't get the power-ups. You have to go play through it again and find them in a completely different random spot because your game is randomly generated every time. The audio is very suiting to it. Nothing really to write home about on that. Yeah, the gameplay is very tight. The controls are very tight and very precise. And it's definitely a very fun game to play. And it's great on the go because you can pick it up and play it in small portions as well. You don't have to sit on a console and play it the whole time. It does have save points. And when you get to that save point, continue. You can continue on the map that you're currently on so that you don't have to regenerate it every single time you turn the game on. But that being said, when you die, it does get regenerated again. So I would say definitely check it out if you're up for a challenge. It's on the Nintendo eShop now. Okay, Alex here, and I got another quick one for you. I'm talking about Earthlock on the Switch. Now, Earthlock had been released previously on the PC and PS4 as Earthlock Festival of Magic. Now, this is an interesting title in that it's sort of a homage to those 90s RPGs that were on like the Super Nintendo and PS1 and whatnot. And it has some interesting characters. I would say the graphical style is pretty cool. It has a very unique style to it. The audio is pretty good. Nothing really too much to write home about on that front, other than it just sort of blends in and feels very good altogether. Now, the gameplay is where it's at, and it's a pretty good RPG with your turn-based battles and some unique abilities, and it's just sort of a fun thing. Now, I would say that this probably plays best on the Switch, simply because this is the version that has an extra year's worth of time put into it as far as tweaking things. Anything that fans had issue with previously, the developer has gone and fixed, updated, tweaked, changed to better suit their audience. So this is the complete, you know, I was going to say in quotes, remastered edition. And because of that, you're getting the whole complete experience. And there's the ability to take it on the go. So having it portable is a big, big factor, because this is the kind of RPG that I want, you know, to take with me on the bus when I'm traveling, or if I'm just, let's say I'm visiting my mom's and I want to go, I'm like, you know, I'm going to take the game system with me. I'm going to take the Switch. So this is going to be something that I can do on the go when I'm visiting somebody, which is perfect. So I would say definitely check it out right now on the Nintendo eShop. Okay, so that was your Fast Five reviews of the quickie 1 to 2 minutes on these indie titles that have been coming out, and there's some pretty cool ones in there, so I'd say definitely check them out. Now, the main event of this evening is the Ni No Kuni 2 review. Just some background story into this. I put about 60 hours into the game of Ni No Kuni 2, maybe even more now that I think about it, probably close to 80 hours of gameplay. So this is something that I almost 100%ed into, so if going into this, if you're wondering, you know, did Alex actually play all of it? Yes, I played every little bit of that game. So here you go. Here's my review of Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom. Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom is one of my most anticipated games of the last few years, and I was super psyched when I got a copy to review. It's a role-playing game not really like the original, in that the original had sort of a Pokemon aspect where you were collecting guys and you were doing turn-based battles with them. This has gone full, I almost want to say Tales-inspired, in quotes, you know, the Tales of series, in that it's action RPG with some strategic elements where you're on the battlefield commanding your little dudes that you collect. The Higgledees, if you want to call them. It's a really funny, wacky game. Now, you play as the president of, I'm assuming, the U.S. It's not really shown except that at the beginning you're in a car with the eagles on the flags and whatnot. And it looks like you're in New York City. And it looks like you're being nuked and it's the end of the world and holy shit. Well, what is happening is you appear to die or are dying, but you get transported into the world of Ni No Kuni, because as in the first game, people's spirits are intertwined, a la a pseudo, I guess, string theory, quantum mechanics sort of fantasy element. And you're transported there. You're younger now. I guess you're like you were maybe 20 years ago. And you're brought in as a coup is happening against the current or soon-to-be king, who's a little boy. Now, I'm not going to go too much into the story, but you basically follow him along and you start building a new kingdom because you are exiled from your previous one. And you start collecting people a la the Sokoden series, where you would collect 100 people. Well, there's 100 people to collect here. And The more people you collect, the more resources you can build. The game is sort of divided up into multiple sections. There is the action RPG that is the main core of the game. Then you have like army battles that are sort of a real-time strategy game where you're running into people, you're doing resource planning, you're building up your army and picking who's best for what thing. And then the third part is almost like a SimCity city builder where you don't get to pick, you know, exactly where each item goes, except that you can choose what to build when and then use those buildings with the people you've collected in the area to level up the city itself, give you new armor, new weapons, spells, upgrade all of those skills. You can buy items. You can find more side quests through it. And it's really neat watching your city and your kingdom build and evolve as you go along through the game. It's not essential to get it to 100% because it doesn't seem to really do anything. I got pretty darn close. I think I was missing 4 people total, and you need 100 to level up your kingdom to the 4th level, which is the highest one, which I did. So it didn't seem to do much, except it was sort of a nice little thing, and there was a trophy involved with it too. So that, I spent far too much time playing that aspect of the game because I just loved it. And I loved that the overworld had this sort of unique, almost PlayStation 1 era design, just the way it looked with all the little tiny chibi characters. And the battles were fun. I never felt like I was being overwhelmed. Everything felt like it was balanced correctly. I was leveling up at the right rate. The game mechanics all seem to fit really well. This is just a very well put together RPG. The music is some of the best I've ever heard in a game, and I still hear them in my dreams. it's very, 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 very cool. The visuals, like I said, they have that Studio Ghibli look, but I know this time around it's not Studio Ghibli doing it directly, but they've hired people that were former animators for them. So it does have that look while remaining a little bit different and a little more unique than the previous game. So this isn't like the first game where it was completely indistinguishable from one of their animated features. This does have that cool Ghibli aesthetic, though. I would say this is a definite must-buy. And I'm not talking about just if you're an RPG fan. I think if you're just a gaming fan in general, this is one of those games where if you weren't a fan of RPGs, you might become one afterwards. And if you aren't, you're still going to experience a really cool story and fun atmosphere. And it does have so many different gameplay styles that are all mixed together. So I would say definitely check this out. This is Ni no Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom from Bandai Namco. Alrighty, moving right along. Now, the games are all done for the week. Now we're looking at something that's a piece of hardware, or at least a hardware accessory from Orzali, which is the Nintendo Switch grip case. I was sent this earlier in the week. It took a little while to get here because it came all the way from jolly old England. So you'll want to check this out. This is something you can buy on Amazon, and I'm not going to get more into it here, so you're going to have to listen to the review coming up right now. All right, people, Alex here with another quick one. Now, we're doing something a little different today. We're going to be reviewing the Orzali Grip Protector Case for the Nintendo Switch. Now, what is that, you might ask? It's a protective case that covers the back of your Switch and adds little grips to the back of the Joy-Cons so that when you're holding it, it feels a little more ergonomic and comfortable in your hands on the go. Now, it came in 2 colors that I was able to review, black and red. I'm not sure if any more are going to be available later, but I did prefer the red because black is, well, it's nice and everything. I do have the Nintendo Switch with the Joy-Cons that are the blue and red, so it just sort of popped when I put it on. It gave me a nice visual. It does protect the back. It does not include a screen protector. That is something else that they offer separately you can buy if you just want something to protect the front of the screen. I found it to be very ergonomic and comfortable. It didn't make me tired after holding it for a long period of time. It actually felt like this is something the Joy-Con should have had built in automatically, but they didn't. Also, Nintendo doesn't seem to have their own version of this. This is something that third parties like Orzali have come up with, and it's a great solution if you want to take it on the go and have a nice, comfortable case. Now, the only downside of this I found, And it's a very small one, so it's not really, it's more nitpicking. It does not fit in the dock when you want to play it on TV mode. So you can't have this on and slide it into the official dock. Now you can get a third party and all that, but I'm not going to get into that end of it. Just, it's a little bit too thick to fit in the dock itself. Now, you can easily take it off in like 3 seconds and pop it on in 3 seconds. So this is really just a little tiny nitpick. But it would be nice if in the future, if they made one that did fit the dock directly. For the most part, I'm playing it on the go anyway, and I'm just plugging into the USB-C port on the bottom, and that doesn't really matter. So I would say definitely check it out. I'm going to post the links to Amazon for this in the show notes so you can check it out, because it is definitely worth picking up. Okay, so that's all we've got this week as far as reviews go, but I'm going to talk for a few minutes now about what's coming up and where we're going with some things. Now, there's some other reviews in the works that, for time constraints as well as embargo dates, couldn't necessarily be in here yet. So I'm currently working on a review for the Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey Redux on the 3DS. Now, that will probably be coming out next week, either on the Twig Main Show or maybe a little later on this Turtle Treasure, or maybe a prototype or something. We're not quite sure where we're going to place that yet. But that is something that's coming out. It's just it has a review embargo date, so I can't talk more about it yet. Now, other games that we're working on, I've got a few on my back burner. I'm starting to work on Skyrim, since that's a Dodge challenge for me this summer, or at least one of his main challenges for me. So I'm going to work on that in the background, but I'm waiting on a few other titles to come in. Now, we've got a bunch of reviews that we're going to be working on for some video stuff, because earlier this year, a couple months ago, when Birdman wanted to sort of relaunch and revamp everything, right in January when we relaunched the show back from being the Nerd News Network into being the original Twig sort of roundtable discussions that we and the variety show that he had done in the past, and we really wanted to reinvigorate it, he said, "Hey, Alex, I'm not well enough yet to really handle all of the marketing and everything yet as far as getting back in contact with PR people that he hadn't had in a while, or even reaching out for new people. He has his stable people that he contacts to get things." And I thought, okay, well, let's really make a go at this. So I basically blasted out probably 150 emails over the last 2 months, contacting people, making new connections, and we started getting some new stuff. And so one of those companies is Film Chest. Now, they are a DVD releasing company that puts out licensed properties. So they're not one of those companies that you see in a bargain bin that throws out the, the public domain stuff. No, they pay for their licenses, and they've got some new releases like the 420 Massacre, the Weed horror film that Dodd and I watched. Now, I'm not sure where that review is showing up, which show, but that's coming out real soon if it's not already out. Now, the three other titles that we've got that are going to take me a while to go through because they're TV shows is they sent me Mr. and Mrs. North, which is a 1950s, early 50s. We're talking like Kinescope. It's not even filmed on film, like these copies that exist, of a detective show where it's a husband and wife solving crimes with 50 episodes. Am I going to watch all 50? Probably not. I'm going to select a handful of them, look up which ones were famous, like the first episode, the last episode, maybe 3 or 4 more to get a sense of the show, and we'll put that out as a review. The other title we've got is Lancelot Link Secret Chimp. Now, this is a show I remember watching as a kid on reruns. It was a Saturday morning show from way, way before I was born, but it was a show where it was entirely chimpanzees dressed in human clothes, solving crimes. Think Get Smart, because I think it was the same writers as Get Smart. Well, they're a remastered version. You can see some of these episodes on YouTube. People have uploaded and they haven't been pulled, but they're really poor quality. Now, this is a remastered high quality, or at least as high quality as you're probably going to get, of these whole chimp episodes. Now, this is a show that, I'll tell you right now, probably couldn't be made today because of certain laws that are in place about how or even just public consciousness of how animals are in shows. But that being said, it's a fun, interesting watch. So I'm going to have a review of that coming up, because I'll probably be able to watch all 17 episodes of this because it's not that long. Now, the final show that they sent is One Step Beyond, which is something I had been looking for a while, but it was always in public domain, crappy release copies that you find in a bargain bin. And this is the most collected in one set that I've seen. There's over 90 episodes. So there are some episodes they couldn't include in here. There's 70 in this set. It's a 6-disc set. It has the entire first season, most of the second season, and a chunk of the third season. It's missing about, I don't know, 15, 20 episodes from the third season, and then a few spackled here and there that either I'm assuming don't have the rights to, or maybe a print doesn't exist, or it's too damaged in the set. Just, they aren't included. They come with a episode guide, though, so you know which episode is which. But One Step Beyond is predating The Twilight Zone. It's one of those supernatural shows. It says, during the paranormal craze of the 50s and before The Twilight Zone, it presented real stories of the supernatural. Real in quotes, obviously. Now, I have, as a preliminary thing, I've gone in and watched at least the quality of the first season and then checked it with the third season, simply because I wanted to see what the difference was. The first season is the much clearer and better looking and cleaned up, because I know that season had a CBS original DVD release a few years before this. So it looks like they've sourced their first season from the official authorized remastered edition from CBS, and the seasons 2 and 3 are from lower quality sources. That being said, it's completely watchable. So I'm going to try to get through as many of these as I can. I'm not going to watch all 70 for the review, because that would take me into the end of summer to watch everything. But I'll watch a few, maybe even with Birdman. So we've got those coming up. And then there's a few other things probably coming in the mail I'm waiting on. Waiting on some other video releases. We're waiting on some, hearing back for some games as well. But there's always some stuff in the pipeline. The way I've designed this now is we're going to have consistent flow of topics to talk about. So I know that Tristan's working on a few things. I know Birdman's working on a few things. And how it's generally working is Birdman is getting the big, big titles that he's got from his PR contacts. I'm getting a lot of the indie stuff, and that's sort of being split between me and Tristan himself. So that just about does it for today on Turd or Treasure. I'm not sure when I'm going to be back. So this is going to be the podcast where we post it at least once a month, maybe twice a month, depending on how much review content we have to put in here. So I'll talk to you guys later.
Well, kids, that's enough for one night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at @twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the f- Ha ha!
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at @twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
And check out our Instagram at twig_official_I_just_squirted.